The following program is sponsored by Friends of Life Outreach International. Next, Jenny Owens opens up about her search for hope by singing in the dark.
But I also learned pretty early on that I could write songs about my life and sort of work out what was going on at school and, you know, even think about who Jesus was in songwriting. And as I did that, I feel like he really spoke to me. But it was also my way of journaling, of kind of voicing those feelings and some of the pain that I was walking through as a youngster.
Hi, I'm Sheila Walsh. Welcome to Life Today. I'm here with my co-host, Randy Robeson, and we are very excited about the guest we have today. I don't know if anybody ever asked you a question, would you rather lose your hearing, your ability to speak, or the ability to see the world around you? I wonder if you've ever thought about that. For me, it always seemed like it would be very hard to have the lights turned off. But our guest today not only understands that, she writes about it in this amazing new book called Singing in the Dark. Jenny Owens, welcome to Life Today.
Oh, thank you. It's so great to be with you guys.
And it's great to have you. I know a lot of people will recognize your name from your music. You have just a wonderful career writing and singing. But if you don't mind, for those who don't know your personal story, just so we can get a frame of reference, could you tell them your experience with blindness?
Absolutely. Yes. Yeah. So I was born with limited eyesight. I had a degenerative eye condition that came down from my dad's side of the family. Wow. And but I could see a little bit. My parents always knew there was a possibility that that sight could go away. And so I was learning my colors. Apparently, my favorite was purple.
I love purple.
Yes, purple is so fun. So, yes, I still love purple things now. I know why. But so I loved purple, and I loved, you know, seeing the faces of people that I knew and loved. And then when I was three, I had a surgery that the doctors actually hoped would at least stabilize my vision, and instead it took it away. So, but because they were prepared for that, my parents kind of said, you know, go out and play, keep doing what you've always done. So I went and rode my bike and climbed trees and scared the poor neighbors half to death, but just didn't really know I was different at all until I went to school. And then when you go to school, you kind of realize, oh, I'm different. But other than that, it didn't interfere in my life at all.
I find it interesting, though, reading that part of your story, Jenny, that you were very much kind of a tomboy, kind of a daredevil.
Yes.
But when you encountered bullying, it kind of silenced your voice for a while.
Oh, it absolutely did. Yes. Well, and I think middle school silences everyone's voice for a minute. But certainly just not only the awareness that I was different, but the awareness that I was different and not liked because of it.
Wow.
I think was really hard. And I remember a very significant moment in that very dark season of being bullied all the time by the mean girls was coming home from school one day, and I didn't talk much about it to my mom, but one day I think she could just tell how difficult it had been, and she just said, you know, Jenny, you've always known that Jesus is always your best friend, but there are going to be days when he's your only friend.
Wow.
And you can trust him, because you have to remember he has been through the worst darkness because he loved you that much, so you can tell him everything. Mm. And I think as a middle schooler, you're like, yeah, whatever. I don't care. You know, I just want friends. I want people to like me. But I think that is one of those truths that continues to deeply resonate now, probably even more than ever.
Mm. Well, how did music become such a part of your vision?
Oh, man, music has been around since I've been around. I mean, I don't remember ever not singing. In fact, we had an old piano that came to live in our house when I was two. It was an out-of-tune old upright that sat in the back corner of our dining room, and I loved playing it. So I figured out when I was 2 years old that you could play every song that you heard at church and preschool on the piano. So I started playing Jesus Loves Me and Twinkle, Twinkle, Little Star and Happy Birthday and anything else. And finally my mom was like, I'm tired of these six songs, you're going to piano lessons. So it was there that kind of the musical fun began. But I also learned pretty early on that I could write songs about my life and sort of work out what was going on at school and, you know, even think about who Jesus was in songwriting. And as I did that, I feel like he really spoke to me. But it was also my way of journaling, of kind of voicing those feelings and some of the pain that I was walking through as a youngster. So,
you know, I found it interesting that so often the thing that is our greatest strength can potentially become our greatest weakness.
Yes.
And, you know, reading through your book, it seemed like you lost yourself at some point, like almost burning yourself out in the music.
Yes, multiple points, yes.
Really?
Yeah, I think when you have, and maybe it's this way for all of us, but when you have a disability, you know, one of the things that you want most in life is just to be seen as normal, you know, and you want a space, you want to belong. And I very vividly remember as a high school student being able to sing songs for my youth group. And, you know, there were, I don't know, 500 kids in our youth group. And the youth leader heard some of my songs and asked me to play them. And I just remember, you know, I had always kind of been the awkward girl that nobody knew how to relate to. But when I played those songs, they broke down barriers because the other kids, they heard their own lives, their own stories in the songs that I was playing. And so I enjoyed that feeling. I was like, okay, this is the way to connect with the world, you know, share music and then you'll belong. But I think there was a point at which that, you know, sort of became for me valued above all other things. And so it wasn't even music. It was music is the means to the end of belonging.
Wow.
And I would say, you know, as I kind of ran after that, I let everything else fall by the wayside and, you know, kind of loved that most of all, which only can lead to disaster.
Hmm. You know, in your new book, Singing in the Dark, you really talk about how Scripture has played a role not just in your music, but in your life.
Yes.
Talk us through what you're expressing in this book.
Yes, well, I think one of the beautiful things that the Bible commands us to do is to sing. And it doesn't say sing if you can carry a tune. It actually says sing. And so one of the things that, whether we can carry a tune or not, one of the things that we find that's so beautiful about music is that it draws us in a way nothing else does, right? And of
so
course,
true.
Sheila, I know that you, well, both of you guys being musicians feel that deeply. And so there are, you know, when you hear a song, you move to the rhythm, you know, your mind echoes with the melody, the words live on in your brain long after the song is done, and you feel something in your heart. And I really believe that's largely the reason that we're commanded to sing, is because singing connects with us in a way that nothing else does. And so, again, whether we sing or not, I think when the words of Scripture, when God's words to us in Scripture are that thing that's on repeat in our hearts, when those are the melodies reverberating in our minds, then it just changes everything about our lives. It changes how we overcome. It changes our perspective. And so for me, I have been very intentional in recent years about pursuing those songs of Scripture and knowing them and discovering them and singing them.
You point out something that I found really fascinating. You talk about Christianity is the only faith that insists there is a rest giver who holds us in the midst of chaos.
Yes.
Talk about that.
Yes. Well, I think, you know, so many religions are about earning our way to salvation, you know, earning our way to perfection, to pleasing either ourselves or you know, someone else. Or maybe they're about, you know, just sort of like stoicism, like the idea of just being so tough, nothing moves you. And Christianity is not that at all. First of all, it's Jesus who came and was morally perfect for us. It's Jesus that we rest in. It's Jesus that carries all of our pain and our burdens and our worries with him. So, but it's also Jesus that says, cry out in pain, you know, as I cried out in pain. So it's not that we never need to be stoics. We always can go before him with our laments, with our songs of pain, with whatever is going on. That's what I love about the Psalms. They kind of lay out before God everything that's going on, whatever it is. They hold nothing back.
Yeah.
So there's no space for polite prayers. And because of that, you know, as long as we are coming before God that way, then there's complete space for rest.
I love that. You need to repeat that. There's no place
for polite prayers.
Amen.
Yes.
But I think the more authentic your faith is, the deeper your relationship grows with the Lord.
Absolutely, absolutely.
And the thing that I thought after reading your book was, it's called Singing in the Dark, but it's not about blindness. It's about, we all find ourselves in dark places.
Right.
And I love the fact that you include prayers and psalms of lament. Yes. Which are something I think we've lost in the church.
Oh, yes. We don't like lament. We want to be shiny, happy people all the time. So, and yet lament, to me, lament is the idea of it's sorrow with hope at the center, right?
Oh, that's great. Wow.
So you're never just, you're not just absolutely just morbidly gone forever. You are crying out to God, knowing that you have a God to cry out to. I mean, that's what we see in the Psalms,
good.
You know? They're real, honest tears, and you're not trying to get to positivity immediately, but you are also saying, I know that you hear me, and even if you don't answer me now, I know you're going to.
Mm. Wow. That's beautiful.
That is Psalms.
Powerful.
All right. Personal question. What is the song or psalm that really speaks to Jenny Owens the most?
Oh, there are so many, and I'm a really bad decision maker. you know, 23rd Psalm, I think, is one of those that continues to speak life in all kinds of different ways.
Yeah.
I think especially when you take the perspective that you see the perspective that David, he had gone through a lot of suffering. You know, sometimes we think Psalm 23, nice for kitschy artwork, right?
Yeah.
But it's not that at all. You know, he had been through war and pestilence and enemies and betrayals, and yet he can come and say, the Lord is my shepherd. He is my rest giver. Yeah. I find my complete peace in him. And so if David, who had been through all of these different, you know, acts of God and just deep trials, if he can say that, then can't we say that so much more in our day and time?
You referenced, in, I think probably in your last chapter, one of my favorite passages. Whenever I feel down or dark or depressed, I read the beginning of Revelation 21.
Yes.
And I remember that something is greater. Something greater is coming. Yeah. Why is that so significant for you?
Oh, because it changes everything about the way we live our lives now. I mean, the bigger our view of heaven, the more we can love people here on earth, right? The more that we can serve people, and the more that the things that happen don't seem quite so big and painful when we're thinking about that glorious day of, you know, being with Jesus forever. I love the idea, like I like to tell people, we are all a little bit blind this side of heaven.
So true.
And I didn't even have to say it. Paul said it. He said, we're all looking through a blurry glass right now.
Mm-hmm.
But there will be a day when we see, when we get it, when we are known, even when we know, even as we're fully known. And
wow.
I love that idea. So I think just for me, being just like you said, meditating on that passage helps me move so much closer to that truth. It makes that vision so much bigger in my mind.
What do you think God sees when he sees you?
Well, I don't know. I don't think about it too much, except to know with confidence that he sees his dearly loved daughter.
Yes.
That's exactly right.
And
yes.
Who is free,
wow.
Just as he sees all of us that belong to him.
So
the beautiful thing is, it doesn't have to be about what I think, right? It has to be about what he tells us in Scripture.
Yes.
And what he sings to us in Scripture about who we are, which is very exciting.
I'm going to tell you how you can get hold of your own copy of her book, Singing in the Dark, Finding Hope in the Songs of Scripture. It's so, so well written. But you can't have Jenny Owens on the show and not ask her to sing. So Jenny is going to sing for us a song, and it's called Greater Still. Listen to this.
Taste of heaven has just
Wow, that's beautiful. You enjoyed that, didn't you?
Greater love with greater still to come. That is the hope for all of us.
Amen. Amen.
Jenny, when people listen to songs like that, what do you hope that they just really get down deep inside their soul?
Oh, I just hope that they will desire for Jesus to be the center of their lives. That matters above all other things. That is walking with Jesus that can help us overcome anything that we face, whether it's, you know, physical disability, whether it's anxiety, depression. I mean, he is the answer for all of it. Mm-hmm. And he's our hope. I mean, it's not even just getting through, but Jesus, you know, is the difference in us sort of, you know, making our way through life and actually having hope, having victory over everything. So I deeply want people to move toward him and to know he's always moving toward us. He's always running after us. He's always pursuing us.
And I see that. I see that when I look at you. I see someone who has said, you know what, I'm going to pursue the Lord. I'm going to live my life. I'm going to shine with what God has given me, regardless of the circumstances. So in that darkness, you're shining. And I want to say thank you, Jenny. Thank you.
Thank you, God.
Sheila, also, I see another way for people to shine in the darkness.
Yeah, absolutely. We're going to tell you how you can get hold of this book, because trust me, you want to read this book. But first of all, I'd love you to come on a journey with us. And we want to show you some of the people right now who are living in a darkness that's a little different, and they need our help, and we can be that light.
Yes.
So watch this.
We're here in Zambia, and our team was walking along the riverbank here, and then we noticed these children that were actually drinking from this very river. I mean, it's so full of bacteria and contaminants, which brings disease and death. This is their only source of water.
Tumengo ndiyo tuchiondo. pachavugati nimitkwengere mwachinze. Bamuchikanyeyo bachiye baguma batotera uyu nango bamwiki.
You see their source of water. These children don't have time to waste. Their lives are in danger every day that they just try to get water. We can give them a better source. We can drill a well that will give them beautiful, life-giving water. Please help us today.
Thanks, Ralph. I was with Ralph on that trip in Africa, and I can't tell you what it's like as a mom to watch children drink that kind of water, knowing that it's potentially going to take their life, but also knowing they have no choice. It's that water or no water. And then I remember the next day we got in our Jeep and went for miles to this other village where the Partners of Life Outreach International had paid to have a well drilled in that village. And to watch that clean, sparkling water coming out and the children laughing and dancing. And there you don't hear a child say, I'm so afraid that my little brother's going to die. I'm so afraid that my little sister's going to die. I can't imagine that. I mean, I remember on the first trip, I remember going back to this little hotel where we were staying and literally laying on this sticky carpet in my room and thinking, I can't do this. And I felt the Lord say to me, Sheila, get up, dry your face, and go home and tell their story. So this is our last week of water. We have made a commitment to drill 350 new wells in 20 nations. And we've told these people, we've told our partners who are on the ground right now, right today, they're waiting for our response to tell them, are we able to go ahead and fulfill this commitment? And Randy, if we all do our part, we can do this.
And that's exactly, I will say this, you know, when you go in a lot of these areas, and I know you've seen this, Sheila, when we watch videos like what we just saw, you think, well, why don't they, you know, gather the rain? Well, they do when they can, but there's long stretches where there's no rain. Or you think, well, why don't they boil the water? And you'll see them trying to do that. They do what they can, but a lot of them don't have anything to boil water in. Or why don't they just drink other water? Well, they do if they can. But we're talking about situations where, like Sheila said, there is no other choice, but we have the choice. A gift of $48 will provide clean drinking water for 10 people for a lifetime. For $144, you can provide that same water for 30 people for a lifetime. $4,800 will drill a well. They do what they can, but they are limited. I'm asking you to do what you can. Together, we can make it so they don't have to go through so many difficult circumstances just trying to get a clean drink of water. We can give them that clean drink of water in Jesus' name.
Can I make a suggestion, Randy?
Uh-huh.
Why don't we all agree to skip one thing? I mean, things have begun to open up again, so people are starting maybe go to the movie or maybe go out for dinner. Why don't we just skip one thing, like skip one meal out or skip one movie trip or skip one thing. And that one thing, if it was even $48, would give 10 children clean water, not for 10 years, for the rest of their life. So please go to your phone, call in, just do what you can, and let's shine some light into the darkness.
I like it.
Waterborne illness is a killer that strikes the most vulnerable. For many impoverished families, the death of a child is the tragic result of having no choice but to drink contaminated water. But with your help, they won't have to make this choice ever again. Mission Water for Life provides clean, fresh drinking water for thousands of children and their families, giving them a life free from the fear of death. With your gift today, you can help drill and establish 350 water wells this year. Your gift of $24 will help provide clean water for 5 children. A gift of $48 will help provide for 10. $72 will provide for 15. And $144 will help provide life-giving water for 30 people for a lifetime. With your gift, we'll send you James Robison's book, Living Amazed. full of inspirational true stories, you'll learn how divine encounters can change your life. In addition, you'll also receive Randy Robison's brand new devotional, Upgrade, 7 Moves in 7 Weeks to a Better Life. With your gift of $100 or more, please request the NIV Thin Line Bible with easy-to-read large print. Finally, please consider a gift of $1,200 to help provide water for 250 people, or a gift of $4,800 to help sponsor a complete well, and you may request our inspiring bronze sculpture, Divine Servant. This is the last week. Please call, write, or make your gift online.
Betty, we've seen the effect of the cholera because we've gotten the reports in this area here from just these water sources, and then we went and saw a well. And teacher told us that they're not sick anymore and the kids can come to school.
Isn't that good?
It's a simple solution,
yes, it
but it's only simple if people help us.
That's right, James. And the water is such a need, life and death situation, James. I mean, I saw a mother actually drinking the water a while ago, and it broke my heart. But, you know, we have to give them a choice. They don't have a choice right now in so many places all over the world that because they don't have that choice, their bodies are being contaminated with this bad water, and their families are dying. We can give them the choice of fresh, clean water. I hope you will help us.
I pray you are doing what you can right now. Go to the phone, go online, make the best gift you can. This is the last week that this will be on the air. And Sheila, I would love for them to request Jenny's book, Singing in the Dark.
For any gift at all, we will send you Singing in the Dark. It's a fantastic book. And Jenny, thank you so much for being so honest and so vulnerable in this book. It's amazing.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much for having me today.
Loved it.
Thank you guys for joining us. Join us again next time here on Life Today.
So while I was a pastor, I was dealing with all of this trauma and all of these things.
Best-selling author Ben Corson, tomorrow. Life Today is made possible by the supporters of Life Outreach International. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of life. The ministry features specific outreaches as examples of the programs it supports and conducts. Gifts are considered to be without restriction as to use unless explicitly stipulated by the donor. The ministry is a member of the ECFA.